You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, the scripture reading today is in Colossians 3, 5 through 11. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the sons of disobedience, in the which ye also once walked when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, that is renewed in knowledge as of the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
A new year. And we're talking about a new man. We're going back to our old study. We're going to cover a couple of things and challenge ourselves this year from some of the things that we read today about what we ought to do. It's ought because it's an obligation. It's not a law. It's not what we must do. But it's only by grace that we have the opportunity to do it. And I hope that we take it to heart. Let's pray. Father God, do thank you as you bless this time together, this fellowship that we have around the Word. The Word might richly indwell us, and we might see the glory of your Son in our life. We might be obedient to the Word, which encourages us to be conformed to His image. So we pray, Father, now that as you set us aside, that your Spirit take the things that pertain to your Son and our Savior, and make them real to us, that we might walk in a faith that's holy and approved without blame. We thank you for these graces in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We've been looking at the two natures in the child of God. Today we're going to look at the third character of the new nature. And the first character was spirit. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. It's spirit and you can't change it. It's not flesh. Don't try to make it flesh. That's the contrary. And whatever you try to do in the spirit through the flesh won't accomplish anything, because nothing in the flesh can please God. The second attitude, our nature or character of the new man, the new nature, is something that's called the divine nature. That which is in us is divine. It is of God. It's not of man. It's not of the will of man or the blood or born of man. It's born of God. And the third aspect is this that we see today in our reading in verse 10, the new man. It's the new man. And it's a fascinating idea, once you begin to meditate on it, that it's this new man and only this new man that can understand the things of God. The old man can't understand the things of God. We knew that by studying before, that the natural man thinks that the things of God are ridiculous and foolish. He can't know them. And so for whatever effort there is in our life to try to study them and to try to apply them from that old nature, it'll be a worthless effort. There'll be no profit in it. What we have to realize is that the new man is the man that understands the things of God and then reveals them, so that we can then order our life around them. Now, some of the things that Paul tells us are hard to understand. For instance, in verse 5, we begin with mortify. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, we've read this before in Romans, and it's a difficult thing to understand in its application, in its practical aspect. From a spiritual point of view. Now, from a fleshly point of view, we can understand that, okay? Quit smoking. Quit drinking. Quit taking Friday afternoon off and taking your check and going down to the bar and having beers with your friends. Yeah, we can itemize all the things that are legalistic and of the that aspect of life and see that from the flesh there is some profit from that. But that's all from the flesh if we don't put it in its spiritual context. When God says mortify, He means put to death. Now, you don't want to do that in the flesh practically when it comes to the things of the flesh that are disobedient. You don't mind doing it to things that are kind of, you know, like smoking and drinking. I'll kill those. Let me put it on the realm that our Lord did when He was here in the flesh. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. See, now we don't want to start doing it when it gets that close to home. That's what I mean. It's okay to do it from a practical aspect in the flesh because I can cut all those things. It makes me even look good. And people slap you on the back and say, good job. But in a spiritual realm, that's when it has its true application. That's when we start putting into practice this verse here. See, the second part of it says that the man of God, you want to be a man of God, that's when you start doing that. Now, if you want to do it in the flesh, you can become a man of man, a man of men. Do you see the difference? See, the man of God is who needs to be completely and perfectly equipped unto all good works. The man of men doesn't accomplish those things. He's like King Saul. And he's like other of these people in Scripture that we read about. When he says to mortify or reckon your members which are upon the earth, he means to put them to death. He means stop practicing these things. Now here we get into the realm of the flesh. Verse 5, he says fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness. You know, that's that smoking and drinking and those kind of things. That's easy. I can quit that. That's the flesh. I can put an end to the flesh. But then the next set we see in verse 8 deals with the things that are internal of the mind. Look at verse 8. He says, but now also put off these other things. Anger, wrath, malice, and blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And lying. How can we do that? How can I stop that angry thought when someone cuts me off in traffic? How can I stop that thought about someone who has done such an evil thing in life? Scott Peterson. Had terrible thoughts about him, haven't you? And how about this Lisa Montgomery? You know who Lisa Montgomery is? She's a lady that went over and strangled that woman and then cut her baby out. I've had some terrible thoughts about that. God wants us to remember in the mind, too. We need to remember. You know, Paul uses the word finally several times in epistles. You know what I'm talking about. There's one place in Philippians he uses it. Let's look at that. Go over there to Philippians chapter 4. And I would recommend to you in your private study, if you ever have time for that, I know you're busy people with all your other studies, but if you ever have time for private study, take the word finally that Paul uses in Scripture and study the times that he applies it. It's an interesting study. Here he says, finally in verse 8 of chapter 4, Philippians, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those are the things that he says we're to think on. It's hard to drag the mind over to that. But Paul tells us in Corinthians that he has to bring his mind under subjection. It's easy to bring the body It's easy to make the body do religious things. It's easy to have the body do ceremony and rites and rituals and think that's holy and that's approved in God's sight. But God doesn't want us just to praise Him with our lips and with our tongues and not praise Him from our heart. Come back to Colossians. So when He says to mortify, He means therefore in light. He said, and this is a beautiful aspect of this verse 5, mortify therefore, and of course the therefore means what came before, because you are a special person in His eyes. Because you have a special calling from Him. And because you have a special inheritance that He's given, verses 1 through 4. He says, therefore, in light of these things, mortify these members. And then verse 8, also put these things off, because they're not becoming of the new man. If you're a Christian, and God wants us to carry that name, and we should be known by that name to others, even if it's derogatory when they refer to us by that name, we need to do the things that exemplify what being a Christian is. How we do that now, how we do that is we realize what God has done for us. He has given us life. Let's go over and look, because this is part of the study over in Romans. Chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, we see in verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. I've harped on this before. Yours probably reads Jesus Christ, doesn't it? It's not there. It's the other way. It's Christ Jesus. There's a reason for that. This is not the time to get into it. I've harped about it before, but we need to remember our Lord is risen, and He's conquered, and He's Christ Jesus. But He says He's made us alive. We're alive. For the first time, when you were born again, you truly became alive, and alive unto everlasting life. And then He says in verse, back up to verse 4, same chapter, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? This newness of life. It's a new life. This newness of life. We are new creations. Now, I have a hard time doing this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You have a hard time doing this. And the reason I will put forth that we have a hard time doing it is that what we feed is not the man of God. What we feed is the man of men. We spend a lot of our time, and churches today are very popular in this. It's very appealing to have all kinds of conferences and missions and meetings to discuss the things of life that'll make you better. And it's so popular, people will flock to them. They'll flock to them because they like to learn the little tidbits that they get there that are fashionable for the day. And it doesn't matter if it's a marital seminar or if it's a financial seminar. And most of these things, if you go to them, if you're really honest, 90% of what you get is not the Word of God. It's the Word of men. People love to hear what other men have to say about the Word of God, instead of what the Word of God has to say. I think that's why we have such a hard time when God challenges us in verse 2 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Let's start with verse 1. Be ye therefore. See, the therefore again points to what just happened. And what just happened is He said, Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Yeah, I bet you guys are good for at least 3 out of 4 of those. give yourself a chance. Just step up to the plate. Don't worry about striking out, but just step up to the plate and try. I mean, try it. Try being kind one to another. Well, I'm really not sure. I don't understand what kindness means. Well, good. God says, I've taught you a lot about kindness in this book. Learn it. Don't go listen to what someone else has to say about kindness. Learn what I've got to say. tender-hearted. Take a swing at that. Take a swing at that. Take a swing at forgiveness. And don't worry if you strike out. At least you tried. At least you stepped up to the plate and you took a swing at it. You'll learn from striking out. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love. He's given us the example in Christ himself of how to walk. We're to walk in love. There's a challenge. And then, you know, he tells us a bunch of negative things. You ever see that? I mean, a lot of times, I remember Mac did this one time, and see if I can, I'm just thinking of this on the cuff, so I have to stop a minute and think about when we were doing the Elijah seminar back in the 80s, and we met down there at that hotel. Boy, it starts with an H. You remember that hotel at 39th, right behind Courts? You know, it's a big, the Habana, thank you. Big homosexual hangout. Now, it's really sad with the inner city, what happens to the inner city, but I don't think we had anything to do with that. we had that Elijah study, and he said, talking about John the Baptist, he said, in order to understand the coming of Elijah, he said, we need to understand what it's not. We have to understand the negative in order to understand the positive. And so when he began that seminar, and it was a 2-hour seminar, and I'd recommend if you can find the tapes, go back and just listen to it, because it's tremendous in-depth biblical study on the events that lead up to the last days and the end times. It's not at all what people are talking about today with, you know, they have the tsunami. What's the first thing you hear? Oh, my, earthquakes, you know, these are the end times. You hear that again. It's just like every time you see some major catastrophe, it's everybody starts focusing on that. But he starts talking about things you don't do. Verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. I'm still in Ephesians 5. These things let it not be once named among you, neither filthiness nor foolish jesting. Verse 5, for this you know that no fornicator or unclean person will inherit the kingdom. Verse 6, let no man deceive you. It's all negative, negative, negative. Where do we learn the positive? You see what I'm saying? It's easy for me to know what not to do. But the important thing is if I'm busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I won't have time doing what I'm not supposed to do. So where do I learn the positive? In the book. He spent time giving it to us in the book. And verse 8, he says, for you were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So now he says to walk. Remember, this, we're coming off that passage in Romans that says, walk in the newness of life. Walk in love. Walk in light. And then he goes on and he says, for the fruit of the light is goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what's acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship, the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. He says in verse 15, walk in wisdom. Now we've said this before, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. And He's given us Christ. He's given us Him, not only has He given us Him in the form of a man, but He's also given us Him in the form of the Word. Because He is the Word. and we need to spend time studying the Word. How do we do these things? When he comes, come back to Colossians now. How do we, in verse 9, he says, put off the old man. We know how to do that. He just told us how. Now, how do we do the other, which is verse 10, put on a new man? You remember Albert Einstein? He developed a theory of relativity. And when asked about it, the guy said, what was the one singular most difficult thing about developing this theory of relativity? He said the one most difficult singular thing was understanding how to ask the right question. When we come to Scripture, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to spend time asking questions about it. He said that back there, prove it, test it. You ever wonder if you have friends? Friendship is an important thing in life. You ever wonder if you have friends? I mean, you know, our Lord said something about friends, didn't he? Let's go over to John. Now, I'm using this as an example. Is it John chapter 10? Nope, it's in that area. See, I'm going off the cuff again, guys. If you know where it is, help me here. About no man has a greater friend than this, that he lay down his life. Is that in John 15? Where is that, Derek? Oh, here it is. John 15, verse 13. Back up to verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, to me, there is a wealth of things being spoken of here, but one of them is that I'm supposed to love. And the way I'm supposed to love is I'm supposed to lay down my life, because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. That proves my friendship. See, the world has a different way of looking at friendship than that. You know what I'm the world's idea of friendship, you know, a rich man will never be without friends. You know, that's a proverb. There's another proverb about being a friend. He who has many friends must what? Prove himself to be friendly. See, here's where the man of God begins to get equipped in looking at some of these things, like friendship or kindness. This is how the new man is developed. See, the thing that the new man needs is not some seminar or some new curriculum on how to read the Word of God in a year or something like that. He needs to just start reading the Word of God and let the Spirit of God take the things of God, of Christ, and make them applicable in his life. We need to do that. Too often what we focus on is we focus on what men have to say so that we can become men of men, a man of men instead of a man of God. See, it's the first part of this is all Scripture. And the Scripture where that... Peter has another way of saying that over in 1 Peter. Turn over to 1 Peter. See, when our Lord was in the wilderness those 40 days and he was tempted, we're tempted. We have same temptations, or he had the same temptations we do, but yet he never faltered. And the reason he didn't falter is how he handled the temptations. And it's not just the temptations in life. It's the trials. It's the disappointments. It's the other things, you know, that come along with life that we have to deal with day in and day out. When the devil tempted him, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God." Now that's from Deuteronomy. And I guess he knew that because he wrote it. He wrote the whole book. And Peter, it's that chapter 2. Peter says in verse 2 of chapter 2, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the new curriculum." No, of the seminar that we're having at church next week. No. It's the Word of God. Now, do you know how a babe is? They're hungry. They suck and suck and suck and suck and suck and suck until they get all the milk they want. They don't stop. And if they don't get enough, if sometimes on the bottle the nipple will get clogged up, they'll start whan. They won't just say, "Well, okay, that's it for the day." They're not satisfied. They'll keep coming back to this word until they're satisfied. That's the only way they can grow. That's the only way you can grow, is in this word. I think Clark alluded to it too. In his comments, that so many people don't read the Word of God, don't know what the Word of God has to say. That's why so many of them flock to these opportunities to hear what other men have to say about the Word of God, because other men usually make it very appealing, enticing, and humorous, and tantalizing. And if they don't, their books don't sell very well. See, they've got to do that. I don't mean to be hammering those people. I'm not saying there's not any good that comes out of it. But the real need for the child of God is the Word. In John chapter 17, when the Lord prayed, He referenced three times the Word. Verse 17, He says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Now there's two other references to Thy Word in this passage, and I for the life of me can't find them right now. 14, thank you. "Yes, I've given them Thy Word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." But guess what He gave them? Thy Word. Anybody going to help me out on the third one? It's in there. You find it. Go to Jeremiah. Everybody knows where Jeremiah is? Chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. In verse 16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." Jeremiah 15:16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." You want your heart to have joy? You want to be rejoicing? This is the way to do it. As you walk your pilgrim walk, it's to take the Word of God and eat it up. Eat it up. What a difference it makes in our lives. What a change will occur. See, that's what come back to Colossians. I've probably gone a long way around the barn to tell you the same thing that I could have told you in just a couple of words, but we need to spend all of us need to spend more time studying the Word. We need to read the Word. We need to know the Word. We need to have the Word in our hearts so that its application in our lives is immediate. And that's what he's talking about in verse 10 when he says, "Put on the new man that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Now see, the old man has an image, and that's the image of Adam. And see, by one man, sin entered the world. And it was because of that one man's disobedience that sin entered the world. The last thing that when I'm talking like this, got to differentiate between the old man and the new man. See, the last thing that I would ever want to do is be disobedient. The new man can't be disobedient. But the I, which is me, needs to come under subjection to the new man. That I is my thoughts and my words and my deeds. The only thing that can teach me how to do that is to study. That's the only way that the new man grows and grows and grows. The inward man doesn't grow by listening or reading the things that the world has to offer. Now, you won't be very popular in the eyes of the world if you don't remember things like, you know, who was president in 1962. You know, we have a lot of facts and figures about these things, and we're very popular when we play Trivial Pursuit. Well, you know, people want you on your team if you're really good at that. I'm not saying don't know those things. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just, in contrast to how much time and effort we put into those things, we need to put a lot more time into this book. This book will solve a lot of problems. It will equip us. It'll equip us. And by golly, the next thing you'll know, the end result is good works. God's already got them out there for you. This year, last year, think of all the ones you missed, but you think of the ones you enjoyed, you participated in. You never know when that opportunity will arise for your chance to step up to the plate and participate in a good work God already ordained for you to walk in. But the realization of those things comes when we equip the man of God. I hope 2005 is a time of tremendous equipment in your life. Let's pray. Father, do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the demonstration of your word in human form. We praise you for your Son and our Savior, who being found in your form, thought it not robbery to take on a form that was below him, that humbled himself. He became obedient, and obedient even unto the death of the cross, so that we, Father, might enjoy this life. Praise you for that. Praise you for the joy and the rejoicing that comes from our heart as we, even as Jeremiah did, find your word and eat it. Thank you, Father, for these graces in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions info@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.